Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're very easy to talk to. You know, you're a strong man of your faith, and that's what makes it so easy. We connected like that in the beginning.
What is up, everyone, it is another day, another time, and another week for yours and my favorite Monday Night Show. And I'm not talking about Monday Night Football. I'm talking about the award-nominated, multi-award-nominated Wheel Talk Monday. You all, tonight, man, y'all buckle up y'all seatbelts and get ready, because tonight we have somebody that is about to straight up educate us on so many different levels. I hope y'all have y'all's notebooks. I hope y'all have y'all's papers. I hope y'all have y'all's pens ready, because y'all, she's about to let us have it tonight. Look, I already got my sticky notes and my pen right here. I'm ready. I'm gonna be taking notes tonight, y'all, because I know she's gonna come with that fire. You all, let me introduce this powerful woman of God, and we're going to let her go in and do her thing after that. Dr. Rashida Jackson is the receiving Miss Women Entrepreneur International, has a 25-year corporate background, where her most recent position was the VP of Operations for a, I want y'all to catch this right here, y'all, multi-million dollar brand that catapulted her into a small ratio of African-American females. Executives. She was recognized by the RAC as Businesswoman of the Year, not once, y'all, but twice. She is passionate about coaching and counseling people. Through life and business, she has been called a midwife of many. Dr. Jackson is also 12-time, I want y'all to catch that, 12-time published author of empowerment speaker and an entrepreneur in her own right, owning RJ Financials, Be Free Tax and Business Service, and Victorious Management for the last 17 years. She has other businesses expanding under her belt, experiences under her belt, earning in network marketing since she was 18 years old. She leads her experience in the marketplace as well as in ministry spaces, together or apart, the mission is the same. So you all, I'm going to let her tell y'all the rest about herself, but I want y'all to like, I want y'all to share, and I want y'all to subscribe as I bring our new family member on with us tonight, Dr. Wasita Jackson.
Good evening.
Hey, 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 how are you?
I'm excellent. Excellent. How are you?
I am well. I am well. So I know that I did not tell the people everything about you. So what I want you to do is I want you to tell them a little bit more about you so that I can get to know you better.
Okay. Well, there's not much else to know unless we get into the personal things, the things that really make me happy. I have been in ministry, let's say, and licensed and ordained minister for over 25 years as well. I just looked at the date, and I believe it was the year 2000 when I accepted the call to co-pastor at that time. And so that's one of the things that I'm really proud of. And then I have three amazing children and a beautiful granddaughter that I love and cherish. I have bonus children and extra grandchildren. So many that people call me the old lady in the shoe. But I don't care. I'll take it because I have people that call me Gigi, people that call me Mimi, and one that calls me Ma. So I love all of them. And they're my family. I've got so many extra sons and daughters that God has given me through the transition of time. And so those are the things that really matter, the lives that I've been able to impact and help. I'm a Lifetime Award winning recipient, Lifetime Achievement Award, Presidential Lifetime Achievement Award winning recipient for my hours in community service. Missions is at the heart of everything that I do. I have so many platforms and organizations that I support that I am in a position to support, thank God. And I do that with all my heart. So I'm still in corporate. I did take a hiatus, but I'm back. And there's not much else. I'm really a laid back, easy person. People, you know, read the resume or read the bio and think that, oh my goodness, you know. But I am not a gatekeeper. So anything that people want to know, I'm willing to share with them. I love to bake. I'm from the country. I'm a scratch baker. So that's one of the things that, you know, I'm proud of. And people say scratch bakers think they're better than everybody else. And that's because we are. But born and raised in North Carolina and living here in Florida for over 25 years. So this is me. This is who I am.
Yeah. See, y'all, I told y'all, I didn't even tell y'all everything about her. Like, see, like, y'all, we have a legend up in here tonight. So let me tell y'all, when I met her, we met through a meet and greet that I was doing through where she liked the post and not liked the post, but someone recommended her to me. And when they recommended her to me, the minute I met her, I told her that night, I said, so I'm about to send you the link to book, and I need you to book ASAP.
You were going on vacation, weren't you?
I was, but I was willing to cancel my vacation. Legit, I was almost ready to cancel my vacation. I'm like, look,
You were trying to let somebody else interview me.
Yes, I was. No, what was happening is you all in October, we will be having our co-host come on with us as far as finally getting some co-hosts back. And I knew without a shadow of a doubt, I wasn't trying to share you with nobody else. I wanted you all to myself. Like,
I'm oh,
like,
that's funny.
I'm like, no, I don't want you waiting until October. I want you booking now. Now.
So, well, I'm glad to be here. And thank you for having me.
No, thank you for coming. Thank you. So we're going to get into this conversation and we're going to have some fun tonight, you all. So the first question I'm going to ask you tonight is, what inspired you to start your business and what kept you going during the early struggles? Because I know it hasn't always been sunshine and roses. So what's that encouraged you to start all of your businesses as you started?
Well, some of the earlier businesses that I started, I have, because I was passionate about a specific thing, I have creative children, like creatives, whether they are designers or musicians or potters, photographers, painters, they're just creative. And so some of the early on things that I started had to do with creative space. So the very first business I started was an MLM, was a network marketing business. And I was inspired to do that just because I felt like even at an early age at 18, that working for somebody was not the gag. It was not where it was. And I had the opportunity to go to a Amway convention. Can you get excited? So I came back home and everybody's going to change everything in their house. They were going to do everything I was telling them to do because I'm now in this business and it's going to make their lives better. And nobody within arm's reach of me did anything, not even to support, not even to just say, okay, good job. You're doing something different. And that's because they didn't understand it. So the earliest struggles were understanding that your immediate family and your arm's length audience are not your supporters.
Can you say that again for the people in the back? Can you say that one more time for the people in the back?
You will save yourself from disappointment when you understand that your family and your arm length audience, that's not your support system. Support is going to come from strangers. It's going to come from people that need what you have. And typically, it's not the people closest to you.
Mm-mm. And I think a lot of times also, we live in especially in our society, we live in what we call the crab in a bucket mentality. We are not trying to watch each other win a lot of the times, which is sad, but...
It is.
That's just where we're at. We have that mentality of we've been doing it this way for this many years. I've been doing this. There's no way you're about to do better than what I've been doing. So it's not that they don't want to help you, but they're choosing not to.
It is that. It doesn't matter how much you educate or how much you share with people early on when you start a business. You have to build rapport and trust. And through 17 years, like I said, it was not my family that started with me, but now most of them are either in my business or I provide services for them. Right. But it was not that way in the beginning. And I just had to get with the right coaches, the right mentors to hear and to learn and to understand that I could be successful regardless of what I had seen and what I had learned throughout life. The biggest thing is, and I posted it today, is that you can win without comparison.
Ooh, that's good. That is good.
Do you? Don't compare your process and your travels and your path to anybody else's path. You can win and be exactly who you were purposed to be without comparing yourself to anybody.
That's a message for somebody. What we have to also realize is Jesus wasn't even received in his own hometown. So we're not always going to be received in our hometown.
The prophet is without honor in his own country.
They know you too well.
That's right. Or they think they know you.
Exactly. They know
who you used to be.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, now you're preaching, Doc. They know who you used to be.
They know who you used to be. You mean little James, the one that I used to watch grow up? No, there ain't no way he's doing that.
Yeah. The person that they're familiar with blocks their blessing. It blocks them from having access to who you are right now.
Ma'am?
Yes, sir.
That's a word. That's a word.
You can have that one. You preach that one.
That is a word. The me that you used to know is blocking you from your blessing that you need right now.
That's it. That's the truth of the matter. You could be missing out on something.
Man, that's good. That is so good right there. So, what was the first business that you started? I know you said like it was like so many things that you did. So what was the first thing that you started?
Well, you know, starting a business is like throwing something up against the wall and seeing if it's going to work, right? But the first business I started at 18 was an Amway business. The second business I started when I came to Miami, I started a record label.
Okay.
Literally, and I had my own artist. I had an artist but I was doing everything, the AR, the promoting, the being up late at night, doing album releases, distribution, I learned everything about mastering, about distribution, studio time, like all of these things. And I love music. So it was easy for me, but it was daunting at the same time. I was entering into a world that I was not prepared for, because I had grew up in a small place and came to the city. And now I'm navigating in a system and an area familiar territory to me. So that was really the first one, but I backed out of that pretty quickly. I was like, this ain't the life for me. The nightlife, this is not for me.
Yes, I like that. I like that. I respect that. So what was one of the things that you learned from the music industry that you took into some of your other businesses?
Perseverance. And because at that time, I'm talking about the end of the 90s era, right? And the end of the 90s era, we had no digital stuff. Like, you know, everybody thinks that we always had iPods and all. We didn't have that. So when you were coming or breaking into the industry like my artist was trying to do, you had to go out and get all your stuff. You had to redo your recording in the studio. You had to get it mastered. You had to go and have your CDs duplicated and made, and then you had to push them. So not only it was not just all the glitz and glamour like people see on TV. And so I learned through that process, perseverance, study your craft, know your craft, and then you got to be willing to stick it out and persevere.
I like that. So it was like, what you learned is everything that glitters ain't gold. Like it ain't always that diamond that you see at the very end. You learned the process of being safe, being molded, being broken down, and being
hard born. Work. Yes. Yeah. Hard work. So I don't take for granted what people do when they are recording artists, because it is hard work. When you back then, it was harder than it is now, because now you can be like, hey, yo, download my song on iTunes or on Google Play. Back then we had to be like, buy my CD, or here's my CD for free, or this is my single, I'm trying to get it out here. And you had to be in these places and in these rooms with the people that had the access.
And that was the hard part. It was getting into the rooms with the people that had the access.
That's it.
And then dealing with the gatekeepers that didn't want to get you into the rooms with the people
had the access. Yeah, that is definitely one of the largest gatekeeping industries ever. And there'll never be enough music in the world ever, because we are all creative in our own right. I just feel like there'll never be enough music in the world. I don't think there's enough great music in the world right now.
Oh man, no. Like, I am 35 years old.
Okay.
I am an 80s and 90s R&B baby to the day that I die. Yes. I grew up on Motown, that Motown sound.
Yes.
Basins, all of them. So it's like this music that I'm hearing nowadays, I'm like, I mean, it's cool and all, but give me some Luther Vandross. Give me some Marvin Gaye.
And I'm even, let's take it to the church, because I'm the one that I've been asking people, anybody got a choir? Because I just want to come join the choir.
Come on.
I don't want to preach. I don't want to serve. I want to come and join the choir. I just want to sing in the choir. That's it. Bring the choir back.
Dude. Let's forget these praise teams and get back to the choirs.
Bring the choir.
The praise teams is good. The praise teams are good.
We keep the praise team. We just cut their show a little bit short and bring me the choir.
Man, look, I'm about to take you even further back. Bring back those good quartet groups.
Oh, they ain't going nowhere. You just got to go in the deep south to find them.
Oh, yeah. Look. Oh, right here. With the robes, yes.
With the robes, yes. No, not in Florida. Don't bring me the robes.
Man.
But I'm with you. With the robes. Bring the choir back.
Yes.
Yeah, because it also, you know, we really took it for granted growing up. I grew up singing in a choir, and I feel like we took it for granted that, and I mean us as pastors and leaders in the churches, we took for granted that it gave the huge population of the congregation something to do. Everybody had everybody didn't need a title. Everybody just had a position. And it wasn't about whether you were the best or what. If you didn't sing well, you went in the back. You know, you weren't the lead soprano or the lead alto, but you could contribute your part to a whole, into the body. And I think that's one of the reasons I am like, bring the choir back. I think if I ever pioneered a ministry or did it again, because I've done that too before, I would definitely have a choir.
Oh man, like legit. For me, I have been, like I said, 35 years old, and 30 out of those 35 years, I've sung in a quartet. I've been in a quartet for all of those years. So it's like, for me, I love it. I love the choir too. I love the choir music too, because I sang in the mass choir at our service. So it's like, I love both. Like even yesterday, for instance, I had to preach yesterday morning. Still sung with the choir even before I preached.
Yes.
All what I was thinking, but...
Yes, I don't know what you were thinking either, but yeah, that y'all can call me.
But yesterday I'm trying to play Superman. Oh, I can do both. Soon as the choir got done singing, here's me. If my father don't mind, I'm asking him to bless us with a selection before I bring the word on this morning. Sit down and look over my notes a little bit more to make sure I'm ready.
Yeah.
But,
choir is the thing for sure.
Yes, bring back the choirs for sure. I love that. So, what would you say is the most important thing to remember as an entrepreneur, as well as a Christian entrepreneur? What would be the most important thing to remember?
Here's the most important, and I'm glad you put Christian entrepreneur. As a Christian entrepreneur, the most important thing to remember is that there is no failure in God. So when you are in Christ, there's no failure in Him. So if what you're working on is not going right, or it's not going well, or it's not producing the fruit that you expect it to produce, then you have to go back and submit it back to Him and be okay with the pivot. Because sometimes you have to make a decision really quickly about what you need to do for what you're working on to work. And a lot of times as a Christian entrepreneur, we are afraid to do business with God.
I love that.
We're afraid. We don't want to say His name. We don't want to acknowledge Him. We don't want to offend anybody, but everybody's not your customer. Everybody's not your client. And it's so important to be who you are and understand that you can't fail. You're set up to win. So maybe you're just not doing the thing that God really wants you to do.
Thanks. I can tell you when I first got started even podcasting, like I started off doing a show called PRL, which stood for Prayer Request Live. And from there, everything just grew after that. And then as everything grew, because everything else was growing, I kind of backed away from the PRL and I started focusing on the other things to allow them to grow. Mm-hmm. And it was like, God got me, got my attention, made me get sick, allowed me to get sick, allowed everything to shut down for a while. And when it shut down, I had to rebuild. And when I rebuilt, he was like, now build it the way I told you to. I'm not worried about all them other things. They're nice and they're good. I need them too. But focus on the main thing.
That's it. That's it. And we don't, all of us don't, we, the reason that you went the route you went and God did what he did so you could come here and tell other people, do what God tells you to do. Like be obedient and do what he's put in your heart to do and you will not fail. And, or you won't have to be sick for him to get your attention to come back and be on the right path. But and or you won't have to start over, right? Because the other thing with that and is many times we've had to relaunch. We've had to start over. We had to start from the ground floor. We had to start from nothing because of decisions that we made, right? But that does not mean that God was not in it. It just means that there was something more that he needed out of you.
I agree with that. It was a thing of God was like, I want to push more out of you. I want to pour more out of you. I want you to reach more people on the way that I want you to do it. Not the way that you want to do it, but follow my path. My path is, what I've learned is my audience isn't everybody else's audience. Let me be real. I strive to do the hot topics type discussions. I tried to do all that. It don't sit right with me. I can't do it. I can't. No. So it's like I had to be obedient to what God told me to do.
Absolutely.
So all right, we're about to have a little fun.
Uh-oh.
And here we go. So anybody that watches Real Talk Monday, y'all already know where we're headed with this. We are about to play a game of this or that.
All right.
So what we're going to do is I'm going to give you some options. And in these options, you have to get rid of one. You have to keep only one of them. You can only keep one of them. So I'm going to go. So you're a choir girl. So I'm going to go with, I'm going to get you hard on the first one. I'm going to get you on the first one. Mississippi Mass Choir.
I already knew you was going to say that.
Chicago Mass Choir or Georgia Mass Choir?
Mississippi.
Mississippi Mass. Yes.
Mississippi. Are you kidding me? And I knew in my spirit that's what you were about to say.
You're like, oh, I already know where he headed with this first one.
Yeah, Mississippi, sir. Mississippi me.
Man, they had hits back in the day. And still coming out with hits, even now.
Yes.
All
right. Mississippi Mass Choir.
All right, I'm going to go Temptations, the OJs, or the Four Tops.
Temptations.
All right.
That's my choice.
Okay.
I like them all, but... Yeah.
The temps had too many hits to pass.
Too many to name.
I got you. All right. I'm gonna go Jackson 5, New Edition, or Jagged Edge.
Oh, that's hard. Okay, I gotta go New Edition for my baby because my daughter is 18 and that's one of her favorites. Boy bands, let's say that, man bands now, but yeah, but that's a hard one.
Yeah,
That's because she's a huge Michael Jackson fan. Like, there's not a bigger one on the
face. No, hold on. Because I'm a big time Michael Jackson fan too. So I'm with you. Jackson 5 all day. All right. I'm gonna go to the movies now. Oh, we're gonna go Denzel Washington, Boris Kozo, or Morris Chestnut.
Morris Chestnut.
Okay. All right. We're gonna go. All right, let's go to the women now in music. We're gonna go the Supremes. We're gonna go. Let's see. I'm gonna go Supremes, the Marvelettes, or Martha Reeves and the Vandellas.
I would probably say Martha Reeves and the Vandellas.
Over the Supremes?
Oh, only because of the music. Like, I'm strange. I love Diana Ross too. I mean, that you gave me some, you gave me some hard ones. But yeah. All of the music it's our heritage. So it's very hard to say, okay, well, none of them would be my favorite, but that would be my preferred only because of the lyrics of the music.
I feel that one. I feel it. Mm-hmm. All right. We're going to go. Okay. I'm going to go Choir Masters on you now. Okay.
Oh, no.
Yes. I'm going to go Ricky Dillard, Hezekiah Walker, or John P. Key.
Oh,
yeah, I came for you on that one.
You did, but I'm going to go with my hometown. I'm going with John P. Key. I'm going with North Carolina. I'm going to stick with it. Born and raised. I'm going to stick with it.
All right. I'm going to go. All right, I got three more for you.
Okay.
Let's go. And that last one, I know I'm going to stomp you on because I stomp everybody on this last one.
Okay. All right,
so I'm going to go Biggie or Tupac?
Oh, now see, you ain't right for that one. You're not right for that one. You're not right. Now see, I have a fondness of Biggie, but my heart say Tupac. So, yeah. You know, you playing with my era, you know, the era of hip hop and where we grew up. So,
Man, I actually used one of Tupac's songs in my sermon yesterday. My sermon yesterday was Keep Your Head Up.
Tupac was just profound in his writing. Oh, yeah. I love Biggie as well, but Tupac.
It was pop. It's pop. It's pop. All right, I'm going to go. All right, here we go. I'm going to give you two more now.
Okay.
After this one, you got two more. I'm going to go Kirk Franklin or Fred Hammond.
Okay, Fred Hammond. Because I'm going to... Kirk? Because, okay, I'm older than you, though. But let's remember that. Fred, that before there was a Fred Hammond by himself, there was a commission.
So, right. They were
one of the groundbreaking, like they were one the ones that came in and transitioned the way that we heard gospel music. So I gotta go with Fred.
I got you.
Okay. All right.
I'll give you that one. I forgot about commission.
See?
So I'll give you that.
See?
All right.
I'll let that one slide.
All right, let's see. I'm gonna go Destiny's Child, In Vogue, TLC, or SWV.
Okay, now SWV, I still play their music, right? Yep. So, yeah. I still got to stick with home. We got to think about my girl from North Carolina. So I'm biased to my state, but yeah, definitely SWV. But Destiny's Child was one of the first concerts that I attended as a child. I was a teenager. Yeah, but I got to go with SWV. I stand on that.
All right. I'll give you that one. I like SWV too. They had some hits. My favorite one for them was Weak.
Yes. And the music transcends time. Like I said, my daughter's a teenager and she can sing their songs because it transcends time.
Yep. Yeah. All right. So you ready for this last one that I know
is from you? Okay.
Michael or Prince?
Oh, I got to go with Michael Jackson. I mean, okay. Now, Michael Jackson as a performer, but Prince as an artist. So you got to understand the dynamics of who both of them are. Wait.
Prince as an artist?
Let me explain. Prince, Michael Jackson, songwriting, performing. But you got to remember that Prince was a master guitarist.
True.
So it's really not a comparison when you really think about it. But definitely Michael Jackson. But Prince was a profound guitarist to the point that even some of them that would have considered themselves to be in his league listened to him play and found out they were not, because he was musically inclined as far as his instrument was concerned. Although I said Michael Jackson, ma'am. Yeah.
Yeah, but she's definitely an MJ fan. She is definitely an MJ
fan. She is an MJ fan to the core. But as you know, but as I said, I love music. And so I'm a little more inclined to dig into the history, why people do certain things. And then I'm older than you guys. So I get it. Like,
I will give you that one because I'm a Prince fan too. Because musician-wise, music-wise, he was unmatched. Now, Michael, he was a global superstar. He was just a global.
Yes. So you can't, like, I just feel like there's no comparison between the two.
It's like when Michael came in the room, people was passing out.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. So how can you even, you can't even play around with that.
Yeah.
Just his presence caused people to faint.
Yes. It's like I was watching a clip a couple of weeks ago of his last tour that he was going to do, and they was practicing for it. And in this clip, they was like queuing up another song. And the stage manager is yelling at the musicians. He's like, "Why is y'all playing yet? Why is y'all playing yet?" And they're like, "Michael told us to wait." And he's like, "Michael, why are you telling them to wait?" And Michael said, "You have to let it sizzle for a minute. As they're seeing that sign come up, you have to let it sizzle for a minute." The stage manager said, "Michael, but how are you going to know when that sign is up if you got your back turned?" Michael said, "I'll just feel it."
Oh, wow.
His manager looked at the band and said, "Okay, when Michael gives y'all the signal, y'all start playing. We just going to listen to what he says."
Yeah. Yeah. He was definitely a gift.
Oh, yeah. Like, that's one of those you won't forget where you was at when he passed away.
No, you won't. Most of them. You won't. You can recollect what was going on that day and what happened. Many of them. Michael, Biggie, Tupac, Prince. See,
I don't remember when they passed because I was still young.
Yeah, you were still young. We were high schooling, so we know, or out of high school at that point. But yeah, those were some sad days.
Mm-hmm. Man, when Michael passed, I was actually headed home from a revival that I was preaching at. And I had heard that Michael had passed, and I'm like, There ain't no way. So I turned it on 101.1 to be jams. They're playing some music. It's a Michael song. I'm like, okay, that's just a coincidence. They play another Michael song. I'm like, Michael's really gone because they ain't playing back to back.
Yeah, that was a definitely a sad. But I was born in the 70s, so I can even remember. And it's so weird. I remember listening to my mom and her siblings talk about when Marvin Gaye passed, when he and his father went through their situation, mm-hmm. and he killed. I can remember them talking about that.
Man, there's just some things you don't forget.
Nope, you will never forget them. They're etched in our memory.
All right, so I got one more for you, and then we're going to close it out.
Okay.
I'm going to go female again.
Okay. I'm
gonna go Whitney, Aretha, Patty, or Mariah.
I got to go with Whitney. I mean, you knew that, right?
By the way you look, when I said her name, you like, I don't care
who you put next to her. I'm going to stick with her.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, yeah. So now we are going to have what is called the Real Talk moment, which is okay. What that is it is going to give you a chance to tell my audience where they can find you at, some events that you have coming up that they can support you at, as well as I want you to leave my audience with a closing word of encouragement.
All right. So you can find me on all social media platforms at Rashida Jackson or at Dr. Rashida J. That is Instagram, TikTok. Wow, TikTok is TikToking. LinkedIn as well as Facebook. And right now, my itinerary is I'm doing some events that are happening quickly. So I have a women's retreat in Daytona coming up this weekend. So you guys be in prayer with me with that. I'll be in Lynchburg, Virginia on the 3rd, 4th of October. And then at home because I'm preparing for a surgery. So my itinerary will be clear for the end of the year into the end of November. But thank God for the opportunity to share with his people to live and not die, right? To declare the works of the Lord. So I want all of you that have listened to tonight that have come and been with us during this Real Talk Monday to be encouraged to know that before you were formed in your mother's womb, God knew who you would be. He knew who you were going to be called to be, and that would set you on a path to completely understand his word and to walk in the way and the path that he had designed for you. That design and that path already has an expected end. All you have to do is allow him to order your steps, go through the process, understand that there will be peaks on mountaintops and there will be valleys. And you cannot always celebrate at the peak. Sometimes you got to learn to celebrate in the valley. It's God that will exalt you. Tonight, we gave you some nuggets, and we're just watering what God already planted in you. But it's he that's going to give the increase. So be encouraged that whatever you have your hands to do, it is my prayer that it prospers even as your soul prospers. I teach Kingdom Finance Bible Study every Tuesday night. You can find us on YouTube at The Uncommon 7 with Dr. Rashida. We are there, and we absolutely would love for you to join us, and we will provide that information to Reverend Glover so that he can send it out for you to join the Zoom directly. So please follow me on social media. I would love to have you. It has been great being with you all. Just be encouraged to know that no matter what's going on, God's got it in his hand and under his control, because as he said in his word in Romans 8:28, all things work together for the good of them that love God and that are called according to his purpose.
Amen, amen, and amen. And you are definitely coming back. We got to get you back on here because we barely even touched the surface on everything that you do. So we got to get you back. So we will be talking to you soon to get you back. We are fam now. You are connected. And we are definitely praying for you as you get ready for your surgery. We are declaring that complete healing.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus'
name. We are declaring that you will be whole. Yes. And we are declaring just that everything will be well with you.
Yes.
So we're going to close out the show a little different tonight. We are going to close it out with prayer over Dr. Rosita, as for everything that she has pouring out to us, that God increases and gives her more.
Thank you.
As she goes through. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for everything that you have done and all that you are continuing to do for us in our lives, Heavenly Father. Right now, Lord, we are coming to you on behalf of our dear sister, Dr. Rosita Jackson. Heavenly Father, we are declaring, Lord, we are standing on the promises that you have given us, Lord, that she will be healed, Heavenly Father. We declare and decree that everything that she poured out to us on tonight, Heavenly Father, that she will not be in a season of lack, but you will replenish everything that she has poured out to us, Heavenly Father, and give her more, Heavenly Father. We'd ask you to give her more breakthrough, give her more blessings, give her more overflow, give her so much overflow that she doesn't even have room to receive all the blessings as you are about to do in her life. Lord, we declare and decree that her schedule be booked and busy as she goes into this next season, Heavenly Father. We declare and decree that she is going to have to tell people, right now I'm not available because my schedule is just too busy, Heavenly Father. We know that you are capable of doing it, and we know that you are going to do it because you are a God that cannot lie. So we thank you in advance for what you are about to do in her life, Heavenly Father. We thank you for the doors that are going to open. We thank you for the nations that she is going to be standing in front of, telling people about you, Heavenly Father. We love you, we praise you, and we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
No problem, no problem. So God bless you all. As I always say, sometimes our disappointments are nothing more than God's appointments. Meaning some things we look at as bad, God has only turned it around for our good. Stay blessed, be blessed, and be a blessing to someone else. And I want you all to catch the podcast that will drop at 12 midnight. I want you all to listen to us on every major podcast station, as well as we are now on Fanbase.
We want you
over there to follow us on Fanbase. The shows will drop on Sundays at 7 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time on Fanbase. And we are James H. Glover Studios over there. So go on over there and like and follow us over there. So God bless you all. I'll see y'all next week. Peace. Hello. We pray that you enjoyed this episode coming from James H. Glover Studios. And if you want to see more like it, follow us, like, and subscribe to all of our social media stations so that you can never miss another episode like this. See y'all soon.